All right, we will be mostly back in 2 Timothy today, chapter 2 specifically, so you can turn there. Just as a reminder, 2 Timothy is a letter from Paul to Timothy, the guy that he discipled. And Timothy watched Paul for years, the way some of you watch your small group leaders here. And this letter is basically Paul telling Timothy, you're up. And we talked about that last week, and we're going to see what else it has in store for us today. So pray with me real quick that God would teach us from his word, which he wrote through Paul as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Lord, you alone have the words of life. And God, help us to remember that. God, let us cling to your word, your truth, as the source of all life, all hope, and all truth. And then if you take like 10 seconds and just ask, God, please teach me something today. God, we love you. We ask these things on us by your grace alone, for your glory, and for our good. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Well, back in 2000, there was a football player who was pretty overlooked coming out of college. He had had a pretty mediocre college career. In fact, for some of his time at the college that he played, there were a lot of people pushing for the other guy to start. He was a quarterback, and people were like, no, start this guy, this other guy. He's better. And this guy was picked 199th in the NFL draft, and because people just didn't think very much of him. In fact, here was his kind of scouting report right here. It said he had a poor build. He was skinny, lacks great physical stature and strength, lacks mobility, not able to move around, can't avoid the rush. He lacks a really strong arm. He can't drive the ball downfield, does not throw a really tight spiral. He's more of a system player. He can get exposed and he gets knocked down easily. And so this guy was drafted in the year 2000. Didn't play hardly at all that first year, threw one pass for 3 yards to a guy named Rod Rutledge, who was a tight end for his team. And but then in 2001, something crazy happened. He was second string, and the starter, who was an all-star pro bowler, that's really good for those of you that don't know NFL, he got hurt in one of the first couple games. And this guy, all of a sudden, it was his turn. And he was ready. And that guy came on and he led that team to a win that day. And then also to several more wins, including the Super Bowl that year in 2001, where they were 14-point underdogs to the Rams. And that quarterback that was so overlooked is Tom Brady, who, some of you might know. I mean, he was drafted before all of you were born. And he's one of the greatest football players of all time. And so the reason that I tell you that is to go to give you an example. Because Tom Brady was ready when it was his turn. And I just imagine for a second when Drew Bledsoe, who was the starting quarterback over him, when he got hurt, what if Tom Brady had not been ready? What if that first year while he wasn't playing, and then that summer between that first and second year, he was like, man, I don't even get to play very much. I'm just gonna, eat pizza rolls all the time and play Madden football games. Cause then I can just put myself in the starting lineup and I make sure that I start. What if that's all he did and he was not ready? Okay, think about how different, like history would be. We wouldn't even know the name Tom Brady. Like, who? Was he in that show, The Brady Bunch, from 80 years ago? No, we wouldn't even know that name. That was a dumb joke. Please forgive me on that one. But that wasn't even in my notes. So, but that is crazy. He was ready, and when it was his turn to step up, he did. And I want us to talk about today what it looks like to be ready. So before we get to that, though, last week we talked about how spiritual leadership is the most exciting, fun, and rewarding thing we could ever be a part of. I shared that from my own story, that is true about my life. Anytime I've gotten a step into my turn at spiritual leadership, it has been the most fun, rewarding, and exciting thing ever. And how you guys can have that story. We asked ourselves this question: are we far too easily pleased? We use that example of a foosball table. Are we the kid who just wants to spin the handles on the foosball table, or do we want to experience everything that that is meant to be? Do we want to experience everything in this life that God has for us? Because if we do, God has designed this life to be one that involves taking your turn in spiritual leadership. And we talked about how, hey, it is your turn now. As sixth graders, seventh graders, and eighth graders, it is your turn now. And will continue to be. And so that's the heartbeat of this series is we want you to know, we want to challenge you that it is your turn and equip you on how to step into your turn and take that. And in fact, last week we gave a challenge that you could raise your hand and say, hey, I'll take my turn. And to be honest, not a lot took it. 298 students were at Wake last weekend between Saturday evening and the two Sunday morning services. And about 30 people responded either on Instagram or emailed us to go, hey, I want to take that challenge. I want to take the turn. Now, there could be any number of reasons behind that, right? And so that's what we're trying to talk through while we're here during this series is what are the reasons that you're hesitant to take your turn? You might think it's not really my turn. And if you think that, I would challenge you, go back to last week's message, listen to it, because it is your turn. And we talked about that specifically, how it is your turn. And not just waiting for you to get older to become a high schooler, or a college student, or a young adult, or have a family for it to be your turn. It is your turn right now. Maybe the reason that you didn't take that challenge is because you go, hey, I don't really believe that it's the most fun, rewarding, and exciting thing ever. I would challenge you also to go back and listen to last week's message. And then I would also challenge you to talk about that in your small group. Take that to your small group and just be honest and go, hey, guys, if I'm honest, I just don't know that spiritual leadership is actually the most fun, exciting, and rewarding thing ever. This over here looks better. Or what I've got going on right now seems better. Man, tell your small group leaders that. And the guys in your small group. Talk about that. Have an honest discussion. Or maybe you're thinking, I'm not ready. That's what we're going to talk about today. And what I want you to do in your small groups throughout this series is talk about what is holding you back from stepping into spiritual leadership, from stepping into your turn now. And what I want to do today in this message is to help you know how to be ready. And I want you to walk out of here equipped for whatever kind of spiritual leadership awaits you. I want you to be encouraged and confident knowing that you are equipped. And I want you to feel challenged that it is your turn and that you are equipped and that you're ready more than you think you are. And you might have reasons why you don't think it's your turn, but not being ready isn't going to be one of them. And so that's what I want to talk about today. What we want to know, I want you to know how to always be ready for your turn. How to always be ready for your turn. This is what I want you to know. This is going to also be your application for today. The way you can take this truth out and go practice it is through these three things, three different ways that will help you always be ready when it is your turn for spiritual leadership, whatever that looks like, whether it is sharing the gospel, whether it is explaining to someone in your class the reason you believe what you believe, whether that's leading your small group and a Bible study discussion, whatever that looks like, I want you to know how to always be ready when it's your turn, when you step into it. And three things. The first one is this: have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says this. It says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Paul is going, Timothy, as you step into spiritual leadership, remember Jesus Christ. Remember that long ago God had promised, hey, I know this world is broken, but I am sending a boy who will become a man, and there's going to be this long line, and eventually Jesus will come, the Messiah, who is going to eliminate all the brokenness in the world by first getting rid of sin the sin in your life, the sin in my life, the sin in everyone's life. And that is the good news. And he's going to pay the punishment that you deserve, that we deserve, and he's not going to stay dead, but he's going to rise and defeat death. And we get to trust him for our eternity and for our life right now. Paul is saying, Timothy, remember that. As you step into spiritual leadership, you remember Jesus Christ. Don't let the gospel slip from your memory, but rather lean into it. Lean into Christ. Have a real relationship with him. And as I say real relationship, I said real for a reason. Because a real relationship is knowing somebody. It's not knowing about somebody. And that can be really hard for us because honestly, in 2019, it's real easy to feel connected to people, even if you don't really know them. It's really easy to feel that way because of things like social media. Even you can even know like, oh, I know this person was just on some kind of vacation in this place that looks awesome and looks like their life is going better than mine. But I can know about facts about somebody, but I don't know somebody. And I want you to know Jesus, like personally. I talked last week about some of my favorite team is the San Antonio Spurs, who won a playoff game last night. No big deal. It was an upset. But I talked how one of my favorite athletes ever is David Robinson. And when I was a kid, he was the best player. And I could tell you a ton of things about David Robinson. I could tell you that he played for the Naval Academy, which is where they train you up to be in the Navy. He played basketball for them in college for 4 years. He was drafted by the Spurs, but said, wait, I need to serve out my commitment to go serve. When you go to the Naval Academy, you go there and then you serve out in the military. He said, hey, I'm going to go be in the military for a year to serve out the commitment I made. And then only then did he go and play for the NBA. I can tell you that his 1994 season was incredible. He got a quadruple double. If you don't know basketball, just that's awesome. And he was MVP. He is 7 foot tall. His nickname is the Admiral. He was one of the 50 best players ever named by the NBA. I could tell you all these facts about him, but I don't actually know David Robinson. I met him one time, and I was like, hey, David. But that was it. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. We don't have a real relationship. I know about him. But you know who I do have a real relationship is Jacob Alger. Man, our small groups coordinator that just came on, in January, just joined our full-time team. But he's been a leader for years before that. I know that he is engaged to Brooke Kendall and they are getting married 2 weekends from now. And I know that he's not here today because he's with his closest buddies and they are, celebrating that together. I know, that Jacob is more, he's very structured. He is probably more serious than maybe a lot of people on our team, but knows that he can also have a good laugh. He's very passionate and he loves God's word and he loves students and he loves people around him really, really well. And that if you spend even a little bit of time with Jacob, you will be challenged in your faith as I have. He's 10 years younger than I am. And I am challenged by him. He's one of the most mature 22-year-olds I've ever met. And I know that even if he were a pair of shoes, he would be Cole Haans. We randomly had that conversation a couple weeks ago. And Cole Haans are just like nicer dress shoes. But I know Jacob. I have a real relationship with Jacob. I don't just know facts about him. I know him. And that's the relationship that I'm challenging you guys to have with Jesus. Man, through the cross, and you are able to have that relationship with Christ where you can go to him and you can talk to him and you can get in his word and hear what God's truth is for you. You can have a real relationship with God where he knows you, where you know him. I mean, I'm not saying that you're going to necessarily hear the audible voice of God. I never have. But man, I would tell you this, in the 17 years that I've been following Jesus, man, I've known him more. I've known his will for my life more. I've felt things that he's put on my heart. Hey, Sean, this is where you need to grow. This is that idol you're holding behind your back. And think about this. This would be the right way to go. The people that he has put around me, the godly people in my life, he has spoken through them to me as well. And through his word so much. And that is a real relationship with Christ. Not one where you just say, hey, I'm a Christian and that's good enough. But you're like, man, I want to spend time in his word. I want to spend time praying to him. I want to spend time meditating on his word. What might he have to say to me? And that's a real relationship. And the reason I want you to have that, because that is what equips you for spiritual leadership. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this. Through his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. And what that's saying is through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, through a real relationship with him, he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. In other words, that phrase in life and godliness, anything that life would throw at you, how to walk in a godly way, anything life would throw at somebody else, and you're sitting with them, man, spiritually leading, pastoring them, shepherding them, walking with them through whatever life throws at them. Man, how to walk through that in a godly way, how to encourage them in a godly way. And that can be really intimidating. Like if you're thinking about a friend who comes up to you and says, hey, my mom's sick. Man, what do you say to them? What do you do? And what this scripture tells us is that through the knowledge of Jesus, through a real relationship with Christ, where you are growing continually, man, you will be equipped to do that. You will be equipped to do that. Because you're always growing in that relationship, that the depth of God's love for you and grace is soaking in more and more and more down to deeper and deeper parts of your heart. And that will allow you to respond in a way that is right in that moment. And I believe that. And I've seen that played out here in my life, in my friends' lives, in my small group guys' lives. And I talked last week about how there's a guy in my small group named Luke that, man, he had to stand up for his faith at one point and gets a little ridiculed for that every now and then. But, man, I have seen him over and over and over again respond to that person that is ridiculing him with love and wanting to invite them to Shoreline. Hey, come with me to Shoreline. As they're making fun of him. For standing strong in his faith. You know where that comes from? Is a real relationship with Christ, knowing that Luke was a sinner, is a sinner, and Christ died for him. And out of that realization, that's what allows Luke to be able to go, no, I need to love this person the way Jesus has loved me. And that's what I mean. Here's the second way to always be ready, is to know God's word. We just read 2 Timothy 2:8. I'm going to add verse 9 onto that. Because he's saying, remember the gospel. It says, for which I am bound. Paul is in prison, remember, as he's writing this. But he says, but the word of God is not bound. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This is saying, hey, God's word is not some book you open up like Harry Potter or anything else that you just read, but it reads you. That's what God's word does. It pierces through to discern, to understand the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is not bound. And if you know God's word, you are more than equipped and more than ready in any situation where you would take your turn into spiritual leadership. How many of you guys love to play games out there or have played a game before? Probably everybody, right? Has anybody ever not played a game? No. No way. I don't believe it. Find me after. We'll talk. Man, how many of you guys have ever played a game with somebody who like, loved that game and explained all the rules and it's complicated, but they explain it in a way that you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. That makes it so easy. How many of you guys ever played a game with somebody that's never played it before and they're like reading the rules aloud to you out of the rule book? Is that not the worst thing ever? Nobody, you're like, I've been listening to these rules for 30 minutes. I don't even want to play this game anymore. What is this If I build a city, what does that even mean? A settlement, longest road? I don't know what any of this stuff means. But it's this booklet that's that thick, and they're just reading it out loud. They're not explaining it to you, and you're kind of stumbling through this thing together. That is terrible. I'm like, I don't even want to play this game anymore. And in the same way, man, if you just know God's word, you are equipped to walk with somebody through the gospel, through whatever is going on in their lives. You don't have to know that much, you don't even have to know like a ton of scripture to be able to walk with somebody through the gospel. Romans Road is like 5 or 6 verses. 3:23, 6:23, 5:1, 8:1, 10:9, and 10. That's 6. And man, those 6 verses would allow you to walk with somebody from the very beginning of here's why you need the gospel, to here's what the gospel is, to here's your response. Man, and like Hebrews 4:12, man, knowing this would equip you to be able to go, now this is why I believe that God's word is worth knowing. Man, if you would just know God's word, you'd be able to walk with somebody through all kinds of situations to know, hey, here's how I respond to them. Man, here's what my approach and my attitude should be. I should have compassion. Man, instead of being like the guy that's like reading the rules at the same time he's trying to explain them, they're like, well, it looks like this. I'm trying to just flip around in the Bible here. Hold on, give me just a second. Guys, know your word. If you know God's word, you are equipped. And God's word is not bound, but it is living and active. You don't just read God's word, it reads you. And so, man, that's what you respond to people with. But you can only do that if you know it. And then honestly, spiritual leadership, man, at its core is all about people, right? You're leading people. You're sharing the gospel with people. You're shepherding and encouraging and challenging people. And so if people are at the core of that, now I truly believe this, that the third way, these aren't the only three, but another way that you can always be ready to step into your turn is to see people the same way God sees people. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26. This is what else Paul tells Timothy. He says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everybody, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them, those opponents, repentance, leading to a knowledge of truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. What Paul is saying here is, hey, man, as God's servant, as someone who would step into spiritual leadership, man, you don't be quarrelsome. Be kind to everybody. Be gentle. Be patient. And the way to see people, man, our souls in need of a Savior. Not seeing people as projects, not seeing people as lesser than you or worse off than you because you know things that they don't or you understand things that they don't, but seeing people as souls that need to come, some of them need to come to their senses. Man, souls that are in need of that same real relationship with Jesus. And too often I think we see people in a different way that James chapter 2 talks about when he says, hey, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, which is favoritism, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. And I'm going to be honest, guys, just to confess from my own life, too often I see people as obstacles to getting what I want. Or sometimes I see people as somebody that can help me get what I want. And what I'm not seeing in either of those things is people. Sometimes I see people as a nuisance. Sometimes I see people as a liability. Hey, if I engage with that person, I mean, how's that going to reflect on me? And I am sure that you guys are really tempted to see people in that way. Man, if I talk to this person, what is everybody else in school going to think of me? If I really love this person and engage them and want to get to know them, man, how are people going to view me? And that is not how God calls us to view people. Just frankly, it's not. we are to view people the way God views them. So how does God view people? Look at Psalm 139. This is the psalmist, the person who wrote this psalm, writing this to God. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." And so when God sees somebody, he sees somebody because he sees mine. I created them in my image. Everybody in here, everybody in your schools, on your teams, in your neighborhood, in your family, they are all created in God's image. You know how Jesus viewed people? The way he saw people? We'll look at Matthew 14. It says, "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick." Man, this Jesus is wanting to get away, right? He's wanting to get away. He goes on a boat to a desolate place where there's nobody else. He can just be by himself. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, even me, an extrovert, will be there every now and then. I just want to be by myself. But when the crowds heard that, they all followed him on foot. And when he's probably like, "Finally, I'm going to get to this place where I can be by myself." And he gets there and he sees this huge crowd. And if that were me, I'd be like, turn the boat around. Maybe they didn't see me. I'll just sit on the water. It's fine. But no, Jesus, he saw them and he had compassion on them because he healed their sick. He knew they were sick. And in the same way, man, Jesus saw a group of people that needed saving, that needed healing. I mean, if you want to know how to be ready for your turn, man, you just got to see people the way God sees people. You got to see people as people who need a savior, whether they are following Jesus or whether they're not. People that are, everybody's in need of encouragement from the gospel. Everybody needs that. There's nobody that doesn't. I have to be reminded of the gospel every day, every hour. That's Sean, Jesus died for this. You don't have to care about what other people think. That's right. That's right. I don't have to. And everybody needs the gospel continually, and encouragement and admonishment. And so, man, if you would see more and more God's people the way that he sees them, you would be seeing all kinds of different ways. It wouldn't be this person that's taking forever in front of me at the grocery store if you go with your parents and you're like waiting forever. It would be, man, somebody that needs to know about Jesus. It wouldn't be, man, this person that does not know how to drive and cuts me off. I'm using examples. You guys can't drive. But like, man, this person needs Jesus. Not a person who, you wouldn't see this person as, hey, this person is first string and I'm second string. And they're what's blocking me from starting. They're what's blocking me from being popular. They're what's blocking me from being the star. But no, there are people that need Jesus, that need encouragement from the gospel just like I do. And man, that would just open your world up to a ton of different ways that you could step in with spiritual leadership. Whether that's something as small as just asking them how they're doing and listening, or sharing the gospel with them, or inviting them to Wake, or inviting them to your small group. Man, it would open up all these possibilities for you of ways that you could step in to spiritual leadership. Just by seeing people the way God sees them. Man, guys, if you are in Christ and you have his word, you're ready. Because when you're in Christ, man, as you, man, continue to realize what Jesus did for you, it's also going to allow you to see people the way God sees them. But if you're in Christ and you have his word, you're ready. You're equipped for life and godliness. There's a movie out that just came out. I haven't seen it yet. It looks, I guess, kind of funny, but it's called Shazam. Apparently a lot of you have seen it. I heard it was awesome too, man. Maybe I'll see it one day. But Shazam is about this kid. It's about this kid that's instilled with these powers, and where every time he says the magic word Shazam, he turns into this like mighty superhero that is super powerful, which wouldn't, if you were a villain and you wanted to beat this guy, couldn't you just go to him as a kid and like gag him to where he can't speak? That feels like the way to beat him. I mean, I feel like we already solved it. Not that we want the bad guys to win, but it feels like there's a pretty big hole there. Anyway, that's besides the point. But, man, guys, we don't need any magical words. We don't need any magical words to walk in boldness, to walk in the power of the gospel. We don't need to say Shazam or any other kind of word that's going to transform us into this, man, this on fire believer, that's spiritual leader. We don't have to say any magical words, because just like we talked about last week, man, if you have put your faith in Christ, have surrendered your life to him, and the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and we read last week that Paul said, hey, this Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear, but it is a spirit of power and love and self-control. And you are ready. Just simply, if you know Jesus, if you love him, if you've put your faith in him, you're ready. And you can get more ready, but you are ready right now. I was thinking this past week about one of the first times I ever shared the gospel. And I became a believer. I put my faith in Christ when I was a freshman in high school, so even a little bit older than you guys are right now. But not too long after that, it changed a lot of things about me. Like I started to become really passionate about Christ and knowing God's word, and it changed like the way that I would joke with my buddies, and man, would change the way that I talked even sometimes, and things I talked about. And I'll never forget, it was a long time ago, but I do remember that at one point my football teammate on the Unicorns, that's right, Eric Newberry, an offensive lineman, came to me and was like, bro, like, what's like going on? You feel like you're really into this Bible stuff a lot more than you used to be. What's going on? And I'm going to be honest, that was, I don't remember a lot of that conversation of me sharing the gospel, but I do know this. It wasn't eloquently said or beautifully just shared, right? I probably used a lot of words that I wouldn't use now. I didn't have a lot of scripture to share because I didn't know a lot of scripture. And it was probably something really basic, like, hey, Jesus Christ came and he died a death that I deserved, and he didn't stay dead, and then a lot of people saw him. And that's kind of changed my life. And I probably made a lot of mistakes back then in that, and I've definitely made more as I've gone on. Even last night, so a big service, some of you probably never been to a big service, they do a meet and greet time also, and I was standing next to this married couple, I think they're married, and I was just like so awkward. I was like, David, hey, what's up, man? I'm Sean, and his wife, Megan. I'm like, oh, cool. And, you know, we're telling him about our kid, and we dropped her off for the first time. I tried to work a joke in there about there were no armrests on my seat. It was just so awkward. And I was like, hey, good to meet you, Daniel. And he's like, oh, it's David. I was like, oh, God, I hate that. But like, it was so awkward. It was, and that's okay. You, as you step into leadership, you are going to make mistakes, and that's okay. But here's what I would tell you. Man, the more that I've stepped into spiritual leadership, the more that I've leaned in and gone, well, let me share the gospel here. Let me encourage this person here. Let me get to know this person here and try to encourage them. Let me challenge my friends here. The more that I've done that, it has only made me want more of that. It has only made me want to know Jesus more, that I might be even more equipped. And I have become closer in my relationship with Christ because I've stepped into that, because I've made mistakes, or because I've seen it go really well. And I have only wanted more. Man, it's made me love people more, not less. It has not made me see people as projects. It has made me see people as people and souls that need a Savior. And that would be my encouragement to you. You're going to make mistakes, and it's okay. That doesn't mean you're not ready. You're ready if you know Jesus and yet your faith is in him. You're ready. And it's okay to make a mistake, but step into it. Lean into it. I'll close with this. Last week, we hosted a bunch of church leaders here, and we all had this shirt because the theme was, why not us? And we we asked the people that had come to be encouraged by us, the other church leaders from around the world, we asked them to think about that question, why not us? And that's the question I want you to think about, why not me? If God is going to choose to use his people to lead others spiritually, to love his people the way he wants to love them, if he's going to choose to use people to do that, why not you? Why wouldn't he use you? If you love him, if you know him, why wouldn't he use you? He used a lot lesser people in the Bible. I promise you that. He used a group of fishermen who couldn't even read. He used Moses who couldn't even talk. He used David who was on a cheese run when he met Goliath. It's true. He can use you. Man, but you got to step into it. And so that's my encouragement for you guys. Step into it. Why not you? Why not? I'm going to put the instructions if you want to step into and take that challenge. Here's how you can do it. You can email wakeawatermark.org. You can direct message us on Instagram. Let me pray that we'd step into that challenge, that we would step into spiritual leadership. God, and I do pray, God, that we would remember how much you love us. Oh, God, you love us. More than we can comprehend. And Lord, I pray that as we realize that more and more and more, God, that you would just encourage us to step into spiritual leadership where it awaits us, God. And it's going to look different for everybody. And God, I just pray that you would help us understand that we're ready and equipped just because we know you. God, you took a fish and two loaves and fed 5,000 men with it. And then a bunch of other women and children. And God, surely you can take the little bit that we have to offer and multiply it to fit whatever you want to do in any given situation. But Lord, I ask that we trust you. I confess that all too often, Lord, I don't trust you. And that I don't see people the way you see them. Help me to. Help me to trust you and see people as souls in need of a Savior. I pray that for the rest of the people in this room. Help us, God. We ask this once by your grace alone, for your glory and for our good. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Guys, we love you. Have a wonderful Easter weekend.